Welcome to Pilates Elephants. I'm Raphael Bender and I'm here with Nicole Mazurkiewicz. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Raph. How are you going?
I'm going pretty awesome. How are you going?
Yeah, I am pretty awesome today too, actually.
Glad to hear it. Thanks for asking. So, dear listener, Nicole, let me introduce Nicole to you. I don't usually introduce my guests. Usually I ask guests to introduce themselves, but this episode's actually about Nicole. So I'm going to start by introducing Nicole and then I'll get Nicole to correct me anywhere I've messed up. So Nicole, Pilates instructor, educator, mother, anatomist, like business strategist, What else did I miss? Is that it?
Oh gosh. Yeah, that covers enough.
former cabin crew for Emirates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've worked together since 2009. In fact, actually we started working together before that because I taught you how to teach Pilates before you started working. We started working together like you were an employee. Before that you were a client. And you've taken some time off recently to enjoy motherhood, and now you're back. So this is a great opportunity for us to sort of do a Nicole, this is your life, retrospective.
I've always wanted to be on one of those things. I don't know why. I think it would just be so emotive just to reflect back on all of that, like the whole life.
Anyway. Well, we're just going to reflect on your whole Pilates life because you've had a really interesting journey, and I think there's a lot in your story that will resonate with a lot of listeners to this podcast. So, yeah, without further ado, rather than getting you to introduce yourself, we're going to go through your story and you can – yeah, share it. So basically you came to, we met, and this is my memory, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but basically you were in Dubai working for Emirates as cabin crew, international cabin crew, and I was in Melbourne, Australia teaching stop Pilates instructor training, and you decided to come and train with us for some reason or other, which I can't remember, but I'm sure you'll tell me what it was. Tell me about that choice. Like, why did you want to give up the glamorous life of a cabin crew at Emirates to become a Pilates instructor?
Well, my story starts about 10 years before that, my Pilates journey story. It actually starts in year 10 of high school. I decided not to study English as a language, English as a subject, sorry. And I chose dance for some reason. Because it was a language-rich subject. It was a very weird decision. But in that, I actually learned about dance posture and all that kind of stuff. And then they talked a little bit. We had to do a project on Joseph Pilates. So that was the very first time that I heard anything about Joseph Pilates. And I then just got some DVDs, as you did, and I started practicing mat-work Pilates at home religiously, daily, from 15 years old. Mari Windsor, thank you very much for starting my journey. And, you know, I did that sporadically for many years. And then in my mid-20s, I moved to Dubai as an air hostess, cabin crew, and started to have some discomfort in my back. And I thought, I'm pretty sure Pilates is good for that. And so I went to a Pilates studio. I went on Google or whatever was it. I think Google was around then.
Did they have Google in 2005? Or seven.
Good maths. Yeah, 2005. I'm sure they did. And I found a Pilates studio nearby and went in. And that was the first time I ever saw a reformer. And I thought, wow, what is this stuff? This is unbelievable. I'd only ever done mat work. I didn't know about anything else until that time. And very quickly became addicted. You know, reformer, as we know, has got this, makes you feel amazing.
It does have that addictive quality to it.
It does have that addictive quality. And I think, you know, I very quickly started to feel much better because, well, we all know the reasons why I would have felt better. And I mean, I was cabin crew on international long haul flights. So sleep was a mess. There's many reasons why I had the discomfort I had. and yeah, very quickly fell in love with Pilates. And I was religious to a certain degree with my attendance. You know, every time I was there in Dubai, I was going to a class, and I became friends with my Pilates instructor, as many of us have done over the years. And she was the one who actually suggested to me, she said, "Nicole, like, students, other students in the class are often copying you and asking me if you're a teacher. Have you ever thought about teaching Pilates?" And I said, "No, I hadn't. I hadn't even considered that as a career," which is actually hilarious thinking back, because it was her career. And I hadn't even thought of it as being a possibility for myself. And that was a pretty, she didn't really plant a seed as much as gave me a whole pot plant in that moment. I was like, "Huh, that's really cool." And I just started searching different schools of Pilates, and I felt a bit overwhelmed. And that was in 2000 and what?
Eight.
Been five or six. Huh. Yeah, 2008. I'd started looking a little bit earlier. Uh-huh. And I don't know when. And I got overwhelmed. And there wouldn't have been many schools around then, not like there are now. And so I asked my instructor for advice, and so she suggested Stott. I thought, great, that really helps narrow it down. And I looked online, and it turned out that the places we flew to, there were many education centres around. I thought, sweet, I can go and check out a few places. And so I emailed, I found addresses, and I didn't hear back from anybody. It's like before email was popular, even though everyone had emails. So I but I did hear back from Michelle at Bree. I've heard back very quickly, and I think that's always been a strength of Breathe Education is communication.
So I'm sorry to jump in there, but so recently we had a conversation about niching down.
Mm.
And so of the 10, 20, 30, whatever Stott Pilates licensed facilities that you inquired with, what set us apart was we actually replied to your email.
Absolutely.
And that's our niche.
Big, big difference, because I was in a position where I could actually go and see all these places. I was an air hostess, cabin crew, going to all these places. And I wanted to check out the facility. I wanted to speak to somebody because I was making a decision that felt very big. And response was massive. Some people did respond to me, but it was about six or more months later. Months. It was insane. I was already in the training by the time I had responses from other people. And so the end of my contract was coming up, and I thought, great, I'm going to just move to Melbourne. I'll do my training. And then I was planning on moving back to Adelaide to where my family was, because I, you know, never considered living in Melbourne longer than the duration of my training.
And Adelaide's another city in Australia.
Yeah, very, very close to Melbourne, but a flight no less. And yeah, I think then I made a decision pretty quickly. There was a course starting, and I moved without a job or a place to live. I just had a course start date. So pretty risk.
That's what you do in your 20s.
Yeah. I knew everything would fall into place, which it did. The day before I left, I met somebody who was going to be my flatmate. They had a spare room in a suburb close to Melbourne. And then I just got a job when I got there. I was never worried about getting a job back in the day. I mean, you're in your 20s, right? So you just figure it out as you go. Everything fell into place and started the course, loved it. A few weeks in, I got feedback from my trainer, aka you, Raf, offering me a job.
Yeah.
And then I started teaching you actually once or twice a week, which was not remotely nerve-wracking.
Well, those were the days when we had this studio business, and the studio was the main business, and the teacher training program was just like, really, it was this tiny, tiny little embryonic business within the studio business. Mm-hmm. That the only purpose of it was to feed through good quality instructors into the studio so we could recruit. It was basically just a recruitment funnel for us to recruit good instructors. And so I well remember, Nicole, I mean, seeing you in that course and just going, "Oh shit, this woman's incredible. Like, she really, really knows her stuff and she'll make such a great instructor." And so I didn't even wait till the end of the course. I knew I didn't want to give you the opportunity to go and find another job. So I can't remember exactly when, but it was like, it was before you finished your course. I was like, okay, yeah, do you want to come work for us?
I was in IMP. I was still in the MatWork course.
Right.
But I did, it wasn't just that though. And I think that this is also useful in insight or advice for anyone looking for a job, was that I became really friendly with the reception staff and all the staff because they were super awesome people. It was like breathe was my vibe. The minute I walked in, I was like, this is my people, this is my place. And I think many of us, of your listeners at home, probably have experienced this when you've walked into a studio. Some, you just like, you hear the choir, you get the goosebumps, you're like, these are my people, this is my place. And I felt like that from day one. And I became friendly with all the staff, not in a manipulative way. Like, I literally genuinely enjoyed these people's company, and, you know, I just would have a chat with them. They'd ask, you know, they got to know me. I'd help them fill up the teapot every now and again. I guess I just started acting like I worked there, let's be honest. And I recall, actually, you've told me this before, where you actually asked the reception team, hey, have you heard of this girl, thinking of offering her a position? And I'm pretty sure that they were excellent references for me, which it's not me as a person being so unique. It's like, this is part of how we can show up in the world where other people, it's not just how you engage as an instructor, it's how you engage within the studio environment, because who you are as an instructor, everyone sees you all the time. They see you walking in, they see how you engage with your peers, your colleagues, if you are in a position to do so. I don't know how many studios still have reception staff. But there was really just that kind of, it just felt like home straight away, which was just pretty awesome for me.
Yeah. And I think there's a really big lesson in what you said there for anyone looking for a job, which is just start acting as if you already have a job there, and pretty soon you will.
Funny you say that, because going back to this Matthew McConaughey audiobook, that was his mother's advice. Whenever he went for a role, don't act like you're going for the role, act like you've already got it. And so this is a very famous actor. Everyone's heard of Matthew McConaughey, I presume. And the same goes for becoming an instructor. Like, if you act like you already belong there, especially if you do. You know, if it's your vibe, if it's your people, it's your culture, it's the way that they teach, aligns with how you teach.
Right. And actually act like you belong there. And that's, you do that. And the way you did it, Nicole, in my memory, is through active service. Like, you went and refilled the teapot, you swept the floor, you signed people in at front desk, you just basically like contributed as if you were a paid member of staff. And at a certain point I was like, oh crap, I've got to start paying this person. You know,
like. Oh, hilarious.
So, all right. So you flew across to Melbourne, you found your place, you started refilling the teapot. I tapped you on the shoulder, and then you became a Pilates instructor.
Yep. I went from teaching my first class to, I don't know, 15 classes and as many one-on-ones pretty soon after that, which was awesome. We had a really large group classes there, 18 people for our group performers, which I feel like, I don't know if there was anyone else in the, I think there was a company in Sydney doing that, but I don't know if it was like a common thing anywhere else.
No, and even now concept. I think there are health clubs that do it, like Virgin Active and places that have like 20, you know, or 24 or whatever in a room, but I'm not aware of any reformer studio that's not like a big gym chain or something that has that many. I might be wrong, but I think the model that has really worked, and like when we opened that business in March 19th, 2007. So that was before Club Pilates was incorporated. That was before KX Pilates. That was like, there wasn't a thing, like group reformer wasn't a thing when we opened. And we had to explain to people what a reformer was, and like they had no clue. Like, we just had to educate them. And so it was hard for us at the start because people just didn't have the brand knowledge of what Pilates was. Mm. And so we had this model that was, you know, we had a very big footprint. We had 450 square meters, which is about 4,500 or 5,000 square feet. It's quite a big space. We had 18 reformers in one room. We had a 32 mat yoga studio in another room. We had an equipment space with two Cadillacs, two chairs, two barrels, a reformer, wall unit, like all of that stuff.
fully kitted out. It was epic.
Yeah, it was huge.
To be honest, beautiful and high ceilings. Like, it was an incredible space. I actually miss it. It was so beautiful.
And we had a reception team. We had multiple full-time receptionists. So when you walked in, there was like always just a receptionist who wasn't an instructor, just like a paid receptionist sitting on reception.
Class to laugh class.
Yeah.
7 a.m. till 8 p.m.
Yeah. And you know, so this was a fairly sort of sizable business, and we had that model, and that worked really, really well. And we were the first to do many things, like the first to have tea, you know, offer the tea and free apples, and you know, have a night. Like, we were the first to get
rap music in the foyer,
right? And we were the first to like answer emails within 48 hours instead of 6 months, because when we did our research, all of the studios that we went to beforehand didn't do any of that stuff. But subsequently, you know, from 2010, KX Pilates opened, and you know, then
when they started,
yeah,
I remember Aaron's training.
Yeah, Aaron trained with us in 2009, and then in 2010 he opened, and he told me, "I'm going to open this KX. I'm going to open 100 franchises." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever, bud," you know. And and they're like, "Oh, no, he did it. Okay, that's cool." And he's contributed greatly to the industry here in Australia and around the world, because Australia leads the world, I think, in many ways in group reformer, and he led Australia in group reformer. But
yeah,
we led him in group reformer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but his model ultimately proved more successful, which was his business model was like, I think he started with 10 reformers in a room with no paid receptionist, like just like the room, like the reformer space was like 90% of the footprint of the whole building. And just like a tiny little, you know, card table out the front with a laptop on it to take people's payment or whatever, and then a toilet out the back on the around the corner or whatever. You have to get a special key, but ultimately that model has prospered, and I think now, you know, 12 or 14 is probably even a better model, but just the basic model of just like one room on the first floor. Or, you know, non sort of main street frontage of, you know, 14 reformers, no paid receptionist, just the instructor takes the money before class or whatever, and a website and an app where you book and do all that. That's proved a better model than our model of like 18 beds plus receptionist plus 32 in the yoga space plus two small groups all at once.
Few overheads in our model.
Yeah, a few overheads. So ultimately his model worked better, but, you know, gee, it was good while it, you know, well, it went, wasn't it?
So fun. It was such a blast. Seriously. Those group classes were a vibe. Like, being able to have small groups of up to four people was a totally different headspace to be in. And then one-on-one clients, just another headspace yet again. So it really just gave that variety for clients, but also instructors to have a very comfortable income. Most instructors only worked at the one studio, which was a real luxury. It's not as common these days. And yeah, you've got the variety of all those different sessions, and you could, you know, have more or less depending on what worked for you. So that was super fun and I loved it. But at some point, I don't even remember what it was, I thought, I'm ready to do instructor training. It was probably pretty early.
I think it was like maybe 2010 or 11,
yeah,
10.
It was something like that. I think I did I don't know when specifically, but it was around then.
Yeah.
I do remember doing my audition video and you suggesting I have chamomile tea instead of coffee beforehand. Maybe I was a little bit excited. But anyway, got through, and a bunch of us went over to Toronto to do the teacher training part with Stop Pilates, which was so fun.
We went across together at least one time.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yep. That was super fun to just travel together. Toronto is awesome. Canada is such a fabulous place. And we just had a lot of fun, you know, getting all the details. I thoroughly enjoyed the teacher training side of things and added that into the mix and did that for many years. I ended up staying in Melbourne for 7 years when the plan was one. I think he even offered me the job knowing that I might not be staying in Melbourne, but if it hadn't have been for the job, I wouldn't have stayed in Melbourne. So thanks for the pleasure of living in Melbourne for so long. My partner and I decided we needed more blue skies in our life. So we moved to Queensland And I was resigning when you said, did you want to teach for us up there? And so I was able to carry on working with Breathe Education and deliver face-to-face courses up on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was pretty awesome to be able to carry that on.
Mm. And so you were teaching at the studio and you're also like teaching clients and you're also teaching instructor trainees for a couple of years there. And in between, so like, I don't know, 2012, we separated off from Stott Pilates and started our own thing. When did you move up to the Gold Coast originally?
I think that was 2015.
Okay. So 15. So you went through, like, you know, that transition for us. We opened our second studio, like 2012, 2013, somewhere around there.
Yep, I was there. Yep.
And that one had 20 reformers in it.
Yeah.
Because 18 wasn't enough. We thought, like, oh, if 18's good, why not squeeze two more in?
And that had the functional fitness room downstairs which in the basement, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah. And then we separated out from Stott Pilates in February the 14th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And started our own thing. And so you taught with us for a couple of years or 3 years then. So, yeah, what was different, if anything, about that from your point of view?
The actual courses.
Oh, just your experience, whatever.
Well, the courses were quite different because we were we had our cert. It was a certain fitness and Pilates together. So the courses were quite different. And I guess for me, I guess it was more, I mean, our courses have always changed. So that's a constant in my history. There's a constant evolution and growth and development and learning more. And it's hard to pinpoint and remember all the different changes over the years and exactly when they overlapped with what. But I think when we were doing the fitness Pilates qualifications, it might have coincided with when I dabbled with CrossFit as some personal practice. So I guess, you know, part of this story is, you know, the changes with Breathe, but also part of it is about my personal practice. And I think our friend Adam McAtee posted very recently about, you know, your passion for Pilates comes from practicing Pilates. And when I was teaching a lot, well, I wasn't really doing a great deal of Pilates. And Stott Pilates is quite different to what we're delivering now and also what we delivered between then and now, because we have updated our content a few times. And, you know, when I was teaching a lot, I didn't have a great deal of time for practice, but I still did want to exercise. So, you know, my personal practice, my love of Pilates has changed a lot over the years. And I've always enjoyed teaching it, but my physical practice of it has kind of changed depending on what we were delivering in the courses. And so around that time, I think I was doing a little bit more CrossFit. Everyone knows CrossFit in this space. It's a global thing. It was a lot of fun. I don't know why I started and I don't know why I stopped.
I think it might have been Shakira that got you into it.
Possibly, yeah. One of my really good friends. Not the singer, but one of my good friends and sister-in-law is, her name's Shakira. She was into it at the time. And we'd also done a lot with strength training in our courses. So I was really getting into this kind of concept of failure or near failure around that time. And then at some point we started doing mat work in the return to life version. And until that point, I thought mat work was boring. I'm sorry, Joseph. I'm sorry, world. But it's true. I didn't teach many classes because we had 18 and 20 reformers. So I was very heavily into the reformer side of things. And I think at some point we stopped having mat Pilates. So I didn't spend a lot of time.
Well, it never went well. Like we used to have mat Pilates on the timetable. And we used to just like gradually remove, you know, a class here and a class there because it just wasn't selling. And eventually we didn't have any mat Pilates classes and it was just all reformer.
Yeah. Then we started teaching the return to life version, and all of a sudden I fell in love with it again. Just this permission to move these shapes that were just like out of my reach, but like, yeah, it just became really exciting again, which is just kind of that ebb and flow. And I think, you know, throughout my life, Pilates has meant different things to me at different stages, for various reasons. You know, there's when I was an air hostess, when I was a teacher, prenatally, postnatally, adding strength and cardio to it, just finding my own flow. Like, it's just, I think that that's the beauty of it, is that there's not one way to do it. And I think, you know, in our last talk, we talked about, you know, being yourself and how that's not carved in stone. It grows and changes. And I think our experience and our personal practice with Pilates is the same, you know, as in it changes. The sameness is that it changes, and as we change and what we like, and we can tailor it to what we want it to be, especially when we learn new things, we can add it in. I think that that's been something that's been a real theme for me throughout the years. So it's just not specific to that period of time where we changed our courses. It's that the whole journey is a period of change and seeing things from a different perspective and a different lens, which is something that I really do love, is looking at things in an obscure perspective and seeing how else it could be interpreted or utilized or experienced. So, so, you know, where I'm at right now, I mean, I do straight sets, and I've got a squat rack just behind me, and I've also got a reformer behind me. And so reformer just started becoming my active recovery between strength sets. And then sometimes it's cardio, reformer cardio, mat cardio. I do the OG stuff, but in the cardio way. It's like, why can't I have everything at once? Why do I have to do just one in one way? I can do strength, I can do Pilates, OG style, and make it cardio and strength, and just have this epic workout. And it's just really re-inspired me all over again. And I'm very sincere with my love of Pilates yet again, especially with this new way in which I'm interpreting it and using it in my personal practice, and then also in classes as well.
Mm. And tell me about your role now since you've come back from mat leave. So you were on mat leave for like a year and a half, something like that, like a year. How long was it?
Just a year. Must have missed me. It was just a year.
Nicole, I've got a terrible sense of time. Like, anything longer than 5 minutes could have been a decade or a month. I don't know the difference. And so over the years, you've been an instructor. In this company, you've been an instructor, you've been an instructor trainer, you've been the operations manager of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the only roles you've had, or have there been others?
There's various name changes around operations manager. I was a training manager.
That's right.
I was the director of student experience.
Mm.
And now I'm back. I am trainer. I'm doing diploma training. Well, I'm basically doing all the courses with the ones that we're finishing up and also the new ones that are starting.
Because we're yet again updating our training. And we thought we'd just update all of our courses at the same time this year. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Why not? Very, very best.
And so what does your week look like these days at work?
Well, I am not back full time because I have two little girls. So I am back 2 full days plus another day scattered throughout the week. So I'm doing review sessions. So they're live delivery where we integrate some of the clinical Pilates content into either a movement session or different ways where we're applying it into a Pilates setting. I'm delivering or facilitating tutorials with diploma students. I'm doing scheduling, grading of written submissions and assessments. And
scheduling's no mean feat because we've got trainers in 4 or 5 countries and students in like 20 plus countries.
Right. So there's time zone conversions, there's daylight savings, which, like, dear world, let's get rid of daylight savings. It does not help.
Doesn't help.
International business. Doesn't help it.
No.
Farming, you know, it's not as popular these days. Anyway, I won't go into farming and daylight savings, but it really does add challenges to scheduling. And mental gymnastics is definitely on my routine.
Okay. And I guess, yeah, so where would you say you're at now professionally? How would you sum up where you're at?
Where I'm at?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's an interesting question. Where am I at professionally as far as where I'm heading or as far as like right now what I'm doing?
Well, what do you, I guess, how do you see, you know, how do you define yourself professionally and from what do you derive satisfaction professionally? What are your areas for growth? I mean, yeah, whatever you want to expand upon in that.
I guess as a role, I'm a trainer, but you can never take my director of student experience hat on. That seems to be permanently attached to my body. In my mat leave, I had a year off and I had been thinking a lot about teaching through that whole year because I hadn't taught as much the previous years. So we'd done a lot of changes. I was living in a one-bedroom apartment and I had my first child. So I was out of the teaching side of things for a couple of years. But this mat leave, I was thinking about it a lot, speaking to different people because I wasn't sure what role I was coming back to. And my partner, my mom, they're like, you love teaching. You're a natural teacher. Like, it's just how you do things. And so I was wanting to get back to teaching and I'm very grateful that the role that I stepped back into is a trainer role. So I'm really loving that a lot and enjoying being with students and nerding out on Pilates because it's super fun. And
It is. I'm sorry, I'm just going to jump in there.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's been a consistent theme, I think, of my own education and also every student I've observed seems like the camaraderie and the fun of the community of just like hanging out and geeking out over anatomy and Pilates and movement and stuff is like that's really fucking fun, you know.
And people outside of Pilates don't get those conversations, you know, quite the same.
And it's sort of like for you and me, I think in some sense it's like we're kind of like the kids that loved school so much, we just like became teachers and stayed at school. So
totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I even did consider studying primary education because I was like, I actually do want to really be teaching again. So I think, you know, professionally, I mean, I am, you know, pretty new to this online teaching thing in comparison to others. Like I'm just a pretty quick learner, but there's a few little tweaks. And so I want to get a bit more fine-tuned with little things, you know, just to feel like it's not a thing anymore. Like, you know, when you first started online teaching, you're trying to remember bits and pieces, yeah. But you get to a point where it's really automatic. So that's definitely something that I want to just, I guess time will help as well. You know, I'm getting better every single time I do something like that.
And what do you, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in there again. What do you think about online, you know, learning a physical skill like Pilates compared to face-to-face? Because you've done both fairly extensively now.
Honestly, I feel when it comes to seeing students doing the thing, I feel like it's easier to see them because they're on the screen. Sometimes I wish I had extra screens so that when they were doing partnered up teaching, I could see multiple things happening at once. That would be really awesome.
Wouldn't that be great if you could see the different Zoom rooms each on a different screen?
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Epic. Because I, you know, that sometimes you're waiting for to see something and you could just be focusing on another room or you could see it. So there's that, which, you know, in a live bricks and mortar setting, you can see all the different groups from a bird's eye perspective. Whereas in the Zoom setting, when you're in breakout rooms, everyone's off into different rooms. So I'd love to be able to have that bird's eye view. So dear Zoom, if you're listening to this,
feature
could
request.
You make that function possible for me? And maybe I should put in an actual request. But when it's like every student's on the same screen and let's say they're doing a personal practice of something, it's so awesome because you can see everyone and be able to kind of speak to that person straight away to give them
Because when you're in a physical space and you've got, you know, 10 or 12 or 14 or 20 students in there, like just by definition, you're in some location within that space. And so you've got a really good view of some people and a really poor view of other people because you're looking at some people side on and other people end on and other people like diagonally and they're behind two other people. Whereas when you've got 20 people on your screen, they're all perfectly side on to the camera and they're all the same size. And so you can really just compare apples with apples.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. I really love it. I was really keen to get back to teaching. I wasn't sure. I mean, I hadn't really had a thought about what it would be like online. I just knew I was a little bit nervous turning the camera on. I felt a bit weird for a few minutes. But once I got rid of the weird feeling, my personal feeling, I loved it. And I loved it more than I thought I would. Not because I didn't think I would like it, but just because I wasn't thinking about that. I was too focused on like not standing like a robot. And then once I got into the groove, it was like, this is actually really awesome. I mean, the only thing is I can't hug people or high five them. But other than that, it's a lot of fun. And I have people in my sessions now that I probably would not have had the opportunity to meet because they're coming from all parts of the world. Mm. So that is a real joy. And having been an air hostess before, I do love all countries and all people. And I love to kind of just, yeah, hear all the different accents and the different ways that we use English is just a fabulous journey.
I really enjoy that. I mean, I work through the very early morning. Where I'm mainly talking to very early morning is like UK and Western mm-hmm. Europe. And then sort of the early morning is US, mm-hmm. you know, West Coast, then East Coast, and then later in the day becomes Australia, you know, East Coast. And then later in the day, you're talking to people in Perth on the other side of Australia. And so, yeah, it's I love how the, you know, the accents change for me across the day. And I love being in those groups where you've got someone with a, you know, some kind of Northern UK accent and then someone with a Southern US accent, and then someone with a, you know, like, I don't know, Middle Eastern accent or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah this awesome. Is such a great melting pot.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Yeah, to have everyone come together in the same Zoom room.
Mm. Nicole, this has been such a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for these are the days of our lives through my Pilates history. It's been so fun to reflect back on.
Yeah, well, it's allowed me to relive some parts of my history as well because I heard them through your eyes, which, you know, you probably have told me a lot of those stories before, but, you know, me, I've got a memory like a sieve for things like that.
Yeah.
So
it's like the first time.
It is exactly like the first time.
Just keep swimming, Raph.
So thanks very much, Nicole.
My pleasure. It's great to chat. Thanks, Raph.
If you love this podcast and you haven't yet left a review, please leave me a review. It really makes a big difference. Just click through on whatever app you're on, if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever. Just go to this show that you listen to right now and scroll down to where it says leave a review and then just give us 5 stars and write some glowing words of praise that will encourage everybody else on that platform to give it a listen. Thanks very much. That really does make a big difference to us.